Welcome to By the Numbers, now sponsored by Queen City Breaks Facebook group. Avery and Harris and the guys over there are doing a great job with their breaks. I have a good time in their breaks myself. They do a great job of shipping, a lot of variety, and some smaller breaks you can kind of jump into and kind of enjoy the hobby at a little more affordable price. But yeah, check out Queen City Breaks on Facebook, our first sponsor. So today we're going to start the show off with our quick injury update. We've kind of been these have been piling up on us a little bit and trying to get things worked out to get on my expert wife, who is very good at knowing things about injuries with her background in sports medicine and a PhD from the University of Kentucky. So how are you tonight?
Thanks. How are you?
Good. Thought we'd just bring you on to give us some light on the kind of the five main injuries I think we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, Travis Etienne, Michael Thomas, and Jerry Jeudy. But before we do that, do you want to just give us a little background about you and how you have this expertise?
Sure. So I was a practicing athletic trainer for about 10 years. My master's is in athletic training, and my PhD is in rehabilitation sciences. And I've worked with a very large variety of athletes from high school all the way through NCAA.
Awesome. And you also had the pleasure to help Tim Tebow when he was knocked out on national TV into the locker room.
Yeah, that was my ESPN debut.
Your ESPN debut, and said he was the nicest guy, even halfway unconscious, huh? So it's not fake, huh?
No.
No, it's not. Perfect. And she also has joined the hat club like Ty and I with Bench Clear. She's fitting right in. So I guess let's just kind of, in terms of the cards, I think what's easy, like what's best for us in the card market is just, you know, J.K. Dobbins and Jeudy and Cam Akers are all three guys I thought really had big breakout potential. They were highly touted for fantasy this year. But J.K. Dobbins had a pretty bad ACL tear from what I'm hearing. What can you just tell us about, you know, how bad it is and what you would think for long term for him?
Yeah, typically when we talk a lot about ACL injuries in football, there's a really common mechanism where you actually, you plant your foot and you cut and you get hit from the outside of your knee. And you usually see a combination of an ACL and an MCL tear, which is the ligament on the inside of your knee. It sounds like from the reports I'm reading that he may have actually damaged his LCL ligament, which is a little bit more of a difficult rehab. That ligament is quite strong. It's pretty rare to do damage to that ligament. That suggests it was a pretty gnarly injury. And then whenever you see that, you're concerned about some other potential ligaments in the backside of the knee that may result in further instability. So that's a really difficult injury, like rehabilitation wise, and just for overall long-term stability and joint health.
Okay. So, I mean, that's obviously not encouraging. Sounds like his career could potentially be shorter than we were hoping, especially with, you know, the best rehab possible. Probably can hope, you know, he's probably going to come back at some point. Just a matter of, I think, that longevity of that career, which is tough for running backs anyways, might even be tougher. Cam Akers, so Achilles is a little bit more of a common injury, maybe. I don't know if common is the right word, but I think we're familiar with the Achilles injury. There's been a lot of players that have had Achilles tears. What can you tell us about Achilles in terms of rehab and being able to come back from that type of injury?
Yeah, I think inevitably almost every year you hear at least one or two Achilles tendon ruptures at the start of the season or in preseason training. So yeah, this one is obviously the big cord-like tendon that's at the back of your ankle there. So it's where your calf muscle attaches to your heel. It's an incredibly powerful muscle, an incredibly powerful tendon. It really needs a really great balance of stability with elasticity, you know, so you need that ability to be able to stretch and to generate that power. And unfortunately, when you tear it, that muscle is so strong that there's just the rehab is a series of different types of essentially immobilization. So we usually treat that rather conservatively for the general population of casting, moving to a, you know, partial weight bearing to a boot, et cetera. In this instance, it's been surgically repaired is my understanding. And that helps a bit, but you still have a long period of time of being immobilized because any type of contraction could potentially disrupt the work that's been done to put it back together. And so there's inevitably lots of scarring that happens, and that affects the elasticity of that tendon. And so he won't really be able to return to doing functional type activity for at least a year. And then he's got a long road to go to try and build up the strength of that muscle again. And then also to deal with that kind of like inflexibility that's been created now within that tendon.
Oh, yeah. So that's just also not good news. Just seems like it's going to be tough for him to come back. Like beginning of next year will be even tough. I mean, I think he could barely make next year, but then also just like you said, building that strength back. And then and I think Achilles has a pretty high re-injury rate as well. Is that true? Or
yeah, it can definitely for sure.
Yeah. And then our third running back that's been out for the year, it's a kind of a big name in the hobby, is Travis Etienne. He's a rookie this year. He had the very unusual and kind of rare Lisfranc injury, which we had to have surgery on. Could you just shed a little bit light on that? Maybe just kind of tell us which of these three running backs might be in the better long-term shape in your mind.
Yeah, for the Lisfranc injury, I'll actually use my model on this one because it's an interesting area of the foot. It's a pretty rare injury, as you said. It's when the ligaments here in the mid part of the foot are disrupted from usually a dislocation or a fracture of the second metatarsal bone, which really provides a crucial role in the stability of the arch of the foot at this particular joint here. And so it needs surgical repair because the issue is when you lose what's called the keystone of that arch, so the main important piece that's holding that arch together, every time that you go to bear weight now, that arch will collapse. And so you lose that stability in your foot. And so that's the ultimate issue that could develop over time, is that there's just instability within that foot, which causes, you know, pain and other types of functional issues that really, truly affect the biomechanics, the way you move, run, jump, et cetera.
Right. So, and then would he be in the best shape of the three in your mind? Or?
I would probably go with that, him, yes, because it can be surgically repaired. There's not as much, you know, muscle wasting that happens. There's not as much as like immobility as you would have with some of the other injuries, the ACL and the Achilles tendon repair. You can also modify your shoes so that they can provide more stability. So I think potentially returning would look a little bit more promising for him.
Perfect. And then you saw Jerry Jeudy's injury. You maybe just kind of give a little bit of light to what you saw on the video that we actually watched. And then just kind of talk about the high ankle sprain and just kind of how the rehab can kind of vary between maybe needing surgery on the road, stability, maybe any long-term effects, if you can kind of.
Yeah, this is another one that really affects the ankle stability, but just at a different part of the Lisfranc joints at the foot. So we're talking here about ligaments that support your ankle joint. You have your medial and your lateral ankle ligaments on the inside and outside of your foot. But then you also have ligaments up here that bring in stability between your fibula and your tibia. And so when those ligaments are disrupted, particularly when you are forced into the inside portion of your foot, a direction that your foot and ankle definitely are not built and do not want to go, you actually end up doing an incredible amount of damage. And so again, this type of rehab is longer than your typical ankle sprain because there's just difficulty healing something like that. Whenever you put your body weight on this, when you're moving and walking, the bones will separate under that kind of pressure because they're not being held together strongly with those ligaments. So it's difficult to rehab, but not impossible.
Right.
And you, even if you do treat it conservatively, like you've seen with the Saints player, there's just instances where that stability isn't restored. And so that's why he was asked to then have surgery long after the injury had occurred, because apparently his stability had not returned. Right. So that's always a concern with these types of injuries.
And that's kind of worst case in Michael Thomas' situation, because it dragged out. Last year he was kind of injured for most of the year, tried to take the offseason for it to heal, that stability didn't come back, and then he had surgery. So he's talking like he's going to almost be a year and a half of not being the Michael Thomas we knew, which has kind of killed his cards. And then with Jeudy, our hope is that his stability does return in the 4 to 8 week window, which is pretty variable. I mean, it varies quite a bit because
I would say that's a very, yeah, that's, that would be optimal and slightly unrealistic.
Right, yeah.
Probably, I would say more like we're looking 8 to 12.
Yeah, just because you saw that, how that Ben was a big Ben.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for the great insight on the injuries. I think that's terrific for us and the listeners to have great perspective on what to expect with their cards. And so now we'll get to our second part of the show. We're going to get talking about how the Thursday night game went. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed that injury breakdown by my wife, Chris. Really appreciate her doing that for us and helping us out, giving us the insight we need to make some good decisions. You know, we got to talk about the Monday night game that was done after I recorded on Monday. The Raiders and Ravens was quite the thriller in the end there. Lamar, two costly fumbles at the end there that kind of cost him the game. Jacob, two TDs, but didn't do much. Waller, like I put in there, is Waller getting to the point where he's like a tight end one in the league? I know Kels is there, but Waller, 19 targets. That's insane. 19, 10 for 105 and a touchdown. Derek Carr threw for 56 times, 34, 56. Not super efficient, but 409, two touchdowns. He had a really bad pick in a very bad spot. But yeah, just overall, it just seemed like the Ravens kind of gave that game away. They're going to run out. They're running out of bodies. They're running out of running backs. I mean, Tyson Williams looked okay. But I'm just worried about Lamar supporting cast. I think it's going to be a tough sledding for him. We'll get to that later in the show. Thursday night just finished up. Washington got a late second field goal to take down the Giants. Daniel Jones actually used his legs quite a bit, which was kind of surprising. He was pretty good. He hasn't made good throws. But the thing with Jones is he just continues to be very inconsistent. He makes some good throws and then some just terrible throws and just can't really seem to seal the deal when it matters at times when it comes to these games. But I was liking him for a little bit, and then towards the fourth quarter, he just kind of fade away, and they lost the game, like the Giants kind of typically have been doing in the past. So overall, just kind of NFC East, you know, not much to see there. I think both teams are a little bit weaker, but Heineke looked good. I thought, you know, he's going to be good enough for them to win if their defense can play. And McLaurin looks like a great receiver one. I think he's really undervalued in the hobby. He doesn't get enough love, but he's really fun to watch. And the last thing I just noticed from that game was Barkley looks really explosive. He looks like he's getting healthier. So I do think I am looking forward to seeing his game next week off of 10 days. Because I think this was pretty quick when he wasn't quite ready for last week, and he still looked pretty explosive. So this 10 days is going to be good for him, and I want to see how explosive he is coming into week 3. But with that, guys, we're going to jump into Donruss. I mean, Donruss is the talk right now. A lot of breaks going on, a lot of cards being sold. If you search players right now, rookie cards and Donruss, you're going to see 100 have sold in like in a day and a half, like for Lawrence and different stuff. So pretty surprising, some rookie prices in general. I put out the tweet. If you guys are following me again, @numbers_behind, love to interact with you on there. Make sure to submit your vintage cards. That'd be great. I'm going to go through each player for Donruss. I'm going to do their base rookie and two notable sales for the top rookies. I think I have 9 rookies here. So we'll start with Lawrence. His base rookie is going for $20 to $35. He had a rookie's insert auto go for $475 and a Gridiron Kings insert auto go for $401. Trey Lance, $18 to $30 is where his base rookie is kind of settling. I know it's kind of wide range, but right now there's a lot of sales, so there's quite a bit of variance. His downtown, oh, sorry, that's Fields. His Gridiron Kings auto sold for $465, which is interesting. It sold for more than Lawrence's. And his Donruss Optic Preview Silver sold for $205. Justin Fields is going between $20 and $30, a little bit higher floor than Lance right now. His downtown sold for $900, which I thought was surprisingly low compared to a couple of the other downtown sales I saw. And then Fields' Donruss Optic Preview Silver sold for $420. Zach Wilson's going $15 to $29 for his base. His downtown, one of his downtowns sold for $27.50. Some Jets fans must really like that image. That's a really high price, especially compared to where Fields is. I definitely take Fields at $900 100% of the time. Zach Wilson's Donruss Optic Preview Silver sold for $280. So you can see that was actually lower than Fields. So you can kind of see the difference there. Mac Jones actually is the number one rookie base card by kind of averages out of the gate. He's going for $35 to $43 for his base rookie card, which is pretty shocking to me that he's even above Lawrence, which is really impressive. I mean, he's playing well, he looks good, but I think that's a bit of a reach in terms of value right now, but he is number one right now. He had an orange auto sold for $1,000. He's got his downtown sold for $2,300 for him. So very respectable price on his. And then kind of the non-quarterbacks, got Devonta Smith, who had a good first game, $5 to $12 for his rookie base. He had a rookie foil out of $100 for $70. Die cut silver out of $75 for $90. Jamar Chase looked like a receiver one out of the gate. As Mike and I talked about on the show on Monday, he looks like a dog. He just looks like he's going to be very difficult for the league. I'm really excited to see him kind of get going, be very similar to Jefferson. I really like watching those players. He's between $5 and $12 as well. Red press proof sold for $20. His optic silver preview sold for $45. That's a good price for his optic silver preview there. So whoever snagged that got a good deal. Jalen Waddle, 3-6 on his base rookie. Optic preview sold for him was for 75. So he actually went over Chase on that one. So that you can see why Chase was a good deal. And then Waddle actually had a Marvel, one of my favorite inserts in the set, sold for 420. Last two here, Kyle Pitts, 4-8 for his. Optic preview silver for him was 60. A rookie foil out of 100 for 76. And lastly, Najee Harris, 4-10 on his rookie base. His rookie auto redemption was pulled for 90. And a purple foil out of 500 sold for 40. So just some kind of observations from Donruss that I've kind of noticed. The portrait photo variations, even though they're kind of short printed or a variation card, they're not doing so well, especially the ones in college jerseys, which we know why. But I thought it was kind of surprising that a lot of the top guys, I think Lance and Lawrence, are in their college jerseys. Those cards aren't selling much more than their base, so they're not even getting the nice little SP feel. So I've been surprised by that. Foils out of 100 seem pretty cheap in terms of what they're selling for. Out of 100 is a very low-numbered card, and it does seem they're not getting to. I almost would wonder if I would prefer that over the Optic Preview Silver, just because of the numbering, because we're not sure how much they're pumping in and what the pop reports will be for those Optic Preview Silvers. But I know I like the Optic Preview Silver looks better, but I'm just really curious to see the pop reports on those when it gets all said and done. I don't like the die cut foils though. They're numbered out of 75, mostly because I think they'd be really tough to grade. They have kind of rounded corners and a real weird tri cut at the top. And I just don't think that's going to be good for edges. I think those cards are going to be a very difficult grade. So I wouldn't overpay for those ones, even though they're numbered to 75. A couple other things there. Hobby boxes for 470. Blaster boxes retail are going for 41 to 45 right now. 41 to 45 is still pretty high to me. I like to see them in the 30s. I think there's a lot of them, but we'll kind of see how that settles once it actually releases and we see more out there. So I thought we'd just move into, so that's kind of my Donruss update. Maybe just leave in the comments of the show, like, how are you feeling about Donruss so far? What hits have you had? I'd love to see him. Or if you can tweet at me at numbers_behind, I'd love to interact and just see how you're doing with Donruss. I'm enjoying the cards. I haven't done a ton of breaks yet, and retail hasn't made its way up north to where I'm at this point. So still kind of waiting to see if I'll get my opportunity or not. Buy and sell segment fear. I kind of have three buys and three sells. I'm heavy Baker right now. Baker Mayfield's 315 for his PSA 10 Prism. If you guys check out my rookie report that's on Breaker Culture, you'll see that Baker is quite low on that list compared to where other guys are. He's half the price of Lamar. He's half the price of Herbert. I just think he's better than half of them. I think he should be up in the 400 or 500s. So I do think Baker has room to grow. And I thought they looked really good against KC. And I think if they can put another good game together, I think they're going to be very tough for the AFC North. I think that Ravens are reeling with injuries. Steelers, you know, the Bills are a tough defense. We need to see if that offense and what that team's gonna look like, because they're pretty tough sledding against the Bills. You know, it was a big win. I want to see what the Browns can do this year, and I think Baker can be a big part of it. I'm still big on Jonathan Taylor this year. His game at Seattle's a pretty good run defense, but he still looked good. He was actually catching passes too, which has always been a question mark for him. So I think his volume and his usage is going to be high. And his PSA 10 rookies went for $76. And I just think that's an amazing deal. I would definitely take that. I think he has the ability easy to get up the 250s this year if he puts together a nice Pro Bowl type season and the Colts, you know, maybe win that division. So I do like Jonathan Taylor a lot. DK Metcalf had, you know, a touchdown last week. I do like what I saw from the OC and that chemistry with Russell Wilson. I do think that's going to grow through the season. I'm pretty high on Metcalf just as a long-term receiver. He's going for 130 for his PSA 10 Prism, and I think that's just too low. I think he should be in the 250 range, so I'm definitely buying DK. Three sells I have for you. I have Lamar Jackson, and I know that people have given me a little flack for kind of hating on Lamar, but I think it's more this year because of injuries. I'm just not sure if he has the cast to really do what Lamar can do. He already seemed like he was trying to do too much against the Raiders and kind of had some sloppy turnovers. And I might kind of see that maybe being the theme this year. You know, his receivers are kind of hit and miss. Marquise Brown, Sammy Watkins, you know, Bateman's hurt. You know, they lost their solid running backs. They do have a solid old line, so maybe that'll help him. But I don't see him taking that step this year, kind of getting back to his MVP form. So maybe another year like last year, which I think wouldn't be good for his hobby value. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens missed the playoffs this year. Their defense is solid, though. I think they have a shot. But with the Browns and Steelers, it could be tough. They could be that odd team out. So I'd be selling Lamar, but more of just to sell him this year, and hopefully they can get everybody healthy and come back next year. He'd be a good buy. Julio Jones, just selling him because I'm just worried he did hit the wall. I know it's one game. I'm not going to overreact, but also just what's his long-term status going to be as a receiver. You know, no championships, obviously great numbers, great, you know, he's the top yards per catch average, I think, for a certain amount of catches. But, you know, he's at 230 for his PSA 10 Topps Chrome. I think that's just a pretty high number for a Topps Chrome rookie as well. So I'd probably be selling Julio Jones rookies if I had them right now. I just think he might kind of slowly come down. Like, he's at best number two on that team. So I don't see him doing much to make his hobby value grow this year, especially if the Titans continue to struggle. Dalvin Cook I put on here, and I really like Dalvin Cook. So this was more of just a, I would say, a smart play, not a heart play. But, you know, he's going for 180 for his PSA 10 rookie prism. I'd wait to sell that until he kind of has a bigger game. He didn't have a big game last week, but he'll have I can see him having a 150, two touchdown game in the near future. I'm just worried about his longevity in his career. He's only had two seasons over 1,000 yards rushing. He's had injury issues. I don't see the Vikings like really built long-term. You know, Cousins not the long-term answer. They still have a lot of question marks with that roster. And I just don't think Cook's going to have a long career like Henry could, or maybe even Zeke to that extent, or Kamara or CMC. So all those guys, I think, have longer careers and kind of staples put in place to be successful longer. And I think Cook will have maybe a nice 3 or 4 year total run, which probably isn't going to be enough for a great hobby value. So I'm going to be selling those three guys right now. All right. So now I'm going to go ahead and share with you guys. I want to talk to you guys about my vintage card spotlight. So this vintage card is coming from my good friend, Justin Miller, a guy that I, kind of collect with, and we go back and forth chatting quite a bit. He's got an awesome collection. He's down in Arizona, and he shared with us his PSA 10 Barry Sanders 1989 score rookie, which is an awesome looking card. So I thought I'd show you guys that real quick. So it was right here, PSA 10 Barry Sanders 1989 score rookie. It's an awesome set. I really like this set for some reason. I think because it's one of the ones I remember really getting into when I was younger. Kind of just had a few of these myself. Obviously, over time for me, I lost those and came back around. But this set has a lot of notable rookies. So let's talk about that first. It's got Barry Sanders, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, Rod Woodson, Tim Brown, Thurman Thomas, Deion Sanders, Derek Thomas, Steve Atwater, and Andre Rison. All those guys were major contributors to the NFL. And great rookie cards to have. I think kind of the notables are probably Sanders and Aikman are kind of your top two. I do have a BGS 8.5 Troy Aikman 89 rookie myself. I just got that card as a simple PC as a Cowboys fan. But this Barry Sanders card is very rare. It's a very difficult PSA 10 to get. That's why it's a $1,600 card is the last comp on that, which is incredible. The PSA 9 is $200 because there are a lot more of those. So if you can get Barry Sanders score PSA 10, you're in the money for sure. The Aikman's PSA 10, just for the other top guy in the set, goes for about $850. So it's kind of just a really cool, one of my favorite sets. I like the green borders. I like the portrait photos that seem to kind of get me. I also like the backs of these cards, the color and the kind of the way it's laid out in the back as well. I should have got a backwards pick for this. What are your thoughts on 1989 score? Do you have any 1989 scores? Go ahead and leave comments in the show notes. That'd be terrific to see what you have when it comes to this set. Again, thanks to Justin Miller for submitting that a vintage card spotlight. Again, I love that set. It's a fun set. Again, if you want to submit a vintage card to me, please tweet at me at numbers_behind, and I'd happy to spotlight your card and talk about the set and give a little more insight into the hobby. So just kind of closing, guys, I want to go over some guys that I'm watching just kind of for collecting and for numbers to kind of see what they're going to do the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be watching Jameis Winston, especially this week in his first divisional game against the Panthers. I think that's a big step. They go 2-0 and beat a team that's 1-0 as well in the division. I think that can kind of really give us a good perspective of what Winston's going to be like. You know, he had a solid game in game one, but they just took off and kind of blew out the Packers in the sense that it didn't have to be amazing. So what's it going to be like when it's closer? Is he going to come back to making those mistakes? So I do want to see if Winston can put it together. You know, Najee Harris, I'm really watching him closely because I think his rookie cards are going to have a shot to be something good as well, because he had 100%. His first game as a rookie was in for 100% of the snaps. That's just amazing to me, just in terms of, obviously usage, but just confidence the team has in him to give him every offensive snap they had, he was on the field. That's incredible for a rookie. So I'm watching Najee Harris pretty close. Jamar Chase, I want to see if he can keep that going. next week, that little tougher matchup against the Bears. The Bears' secondary actually isn't as good. Their front seven's better. So I do want to see if he can continue to just play well and look at that receiver one we saw last week. Late round rookies, a couple guys I'm looking at. Diamond Brown, who's on Washington play tonight. He's getting a lot of looks downfield, so I've already watched him tonight, but I'd like to see how he's going to do going forward. He's kind of in a position to be that receiver two there with Terry. And then Elijah Mitchell, all the talk from fantasy right now is Elijah Mitchell with the 49ers, with Mostert going out for the year. And now it's kind of coming down to right now, Elijah Mitchell's a starter. A lot of people are just wondering if Trey Sermon's going to take over, but Mitchell's kind of a big piece to see if Sermon can have any hobby value. And then if not, maybe Elijah Mitchell will, which is even, you know, another option for your 49er running backs. Either way, it just seems that Shanahan can make any running back work at this point. And then I'm going to really watch Jonathan Taylor. He was on my buy list. I want to see if he could just put it together and have one of his bigger games, get a couple touchdowns, 100 yards, and just really kind of make his fantasy owners happy and his card owners happy. So I'm looking forward to see if he can do that against who do they have this week? The Rams, I think. They had a tough game against the Rams, I believe. So it'll be a tough one. So the games I'm looking forward for week two, Buffalo at Miami. It's definitely a big pivot game with Miami 1-0 and Buffalo dropping to Pittsburgh. Buffalo kind of needs to win that to kind of get back to the even the division. If not, that'd be, you know, 2-0-0-2. That'd be a pretty tough slide for Buffalo. So it's a big game. San Fran at Philly, just to see if Philly's for real. You know, they beat the Falcons, but we kind of in that game, it looked like the Falcons weren't much to write home about. So I want to see how San Fran Philly looks to see if Philly is for real. Saints and Carolina, as I mentioned with Winston, that both 1-0, pretty big game for Winston's cards and pretty big game for Darnold's cards too. You know, if Carolina could pull that game out, that's 2-0 for Darnold. That's a good swing for his hobby value as well. And then Seattle at Tennessee. Well, Tennessee kind of a must win for them in a sense. I think 0-2 for them would be rough, even though them and the Colts have tough matchups this week as well. Just if Tennessee gets 0-2, it can kind of unravel quickly. They're already kind of having rumblings about not being happy with Julio and different things in the locker room. So I'd like to see what's going to happen in that game. And then KC at Baltimore, you know, I think KC will probably get him pretty good, but Lamar seems to play well against Mahomes. He does really well against KC in general. And can Baltimore avoid an 0-2 hole? So those are the games I'm looking forward to, guys. Again, appreciate your support in the show and checking us out. Again, give a shout out to my sponsor, Queen City Breaks. Again, Avery and Harris, the guys over there, got a lot of breaks for you. They have Acuna signed ball giveaway. So you can enter the group, join the giveaway, and chance for a nice free Ronald Acuna signed memorabilia. So check out Queen City Breaks on Facebook group. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you guys on Monday.